As we prepare to enter into a time of prayer, please take notice that we have some prayer quilts here at the front of the sanctuary. Take time after the service, if you would please, to tie a knot and sign the card. And now, if you would please, join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, Creator and Giver of life, help us to know you, love you, and serve you each day. Refresh, renew, and recommit us to our faith as we try to be a people that always follow your way. Open our minds to learn your word so we can share your abiding love and awesome might. Help us identify, develop, and use our gifts for serving you better and doing what we know is right. Guide us in developing lasting relationships that transform the world according to the plan you make. Hear our songs, prayers, and joyful laughter as we glorify you and gather for Jesus' sake. Great God Almighty, wondrous is your amazing creation. Everything works according to your intricate, dynamic, and balanced design. We are created in your image, with each of us unique. All are part of one human race, made by your hand so divine. Heavenly Father, help us acquire the wisdom of your words so we can train our children in the way you would have them go. Show us how to love one another as you love us, so we exercise patience and kindness with our children as they grow. Help us avoid anger, depression, despair, and gloom, that we experience the delight, joy, cheer, and hope found in you. You give us free will to pursue happiness and peace. Let us do it in your name by giving the priority you are due. Help us to seek pleasure by pleasing others so we aren't trapped by the material and physical, which are fleeting. Our purpose is to be in relationship with you. Hear us as we silently pray from our seating. Lord, we are here today and gone tomorrow. Finding one's life means losing one's life, it's true. Love, contentment, and common sense can be found from the life of Jesus, who showed us how to follow a path that leads to you. He also taught us to pray the words we now repeat together as one. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Scripture lesson this morning is Ephesians, the fourth chapter, verses 11 through 16. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers to equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is dead, that is, Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself upon love as each part does its work. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Jane. So before we start, I am going to call George and Dorothy out a little bit, if that's okay. George and Dorothy were just recently married in this sanctuary. They went on a honeymoon to Hawaii, and they came back, and what are they doing together? They're worshiping. Isn't that a great way to start a marriage? Well, Bob and I recently were talking about vision casting, and a couple of items that are urgently on our hearts. And we decided that we would take this week to introduce that and to talk a little bit about our mission. It wasn't too long ago that I reread the book, Seven Habits of Highly Effective People. Now, if you've been in the workplace for any number of years, you might have been exposed to this book, which was first published in 1989. Since then, it has sold over 25 million copies and is published in over 40 languages. How many people have read Seven Habits of Highly Effective People? Look at this. How many people have had to go through some kind of workshop or training connected to this book? All righty. So many of you are familiar with it. It's a book that talks about how we might be more effective in our lives, and there's a systematic approach. And I'd like to talk about one of the five habits. It is, in the words of Steve Covey, to put first things first. In other words, to understand what our purpose is in this life, and to put that purpose and what we will do to accomplish that purpose first. To have a clear purpose, to understand who we are and where we're going, means that we will actually begin to move in that direction. Now, when I heard that, I couldn't help but think about Jesus and Jesus' clear statement of purpose. After he was baptized, he went to his hometown of Nazareth. There he went into the synagogue, and he was handed scriptures to read. He unrolled them and read this statement. The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Many Bible scholars look at this and they say, this is the purpose statement for Jesus. It's why he came, to proclaim the good news to the poor, to set the captive free, to give sight to the blind, to proclaim the year of God's favor, a year where all will be set free. And Jesus went about through his life accomplishing this purpose. Now, not only do individuals have purpose statements, but institutions do as well. The United Methodist Church has a mission statement. It is our denominational mission to make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. In other words, whatever the United Methodist Church is doing, whether it is in the local church, at a state level, a national level, or in any type of mission we do within the church or outside the church, we primarily have to ask, will this make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world? It is our driving mission.
Yes, it is. And we have a driving mission here too. If you've attended worship here even once, you know what it is. Ready? It's to
know God,
love God, and serve God. That's why we put up on the screen. Now, I'm guessing, though, that a lot of you would know that because we talk about it every Sunday. And what it does, if we know, love, and serve God by the power of Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit, we can accomplish this mission not just here on the inside, but outside this church, not just here in this community, but around the world. And through this purpose, we are convinced that life is better, it's renewed, we have purpose, we are transformed, we're filled with the Holy Spirit every single day because we know that happens when we know, love, and serve God. Now, we're not the first to do this. And in fact, our founder, John Wesley, believed all the world was his parish, and he had a burning desire to take the gospel and to make disciples of Jesus Christ to the world. The world was his parish, and he spent his entire living days filling out this mission. Now, John Wesley discovered that on Sunday mornings, people weren't coming to church. Whoa. So it's not just today, people. It was going on back then. So he did something that was a little shocking to the churchgoers and even more so the church leaders of his day. He went to where the people were. So he was outside the mines, the coal mines, when the miners came up at the end of the day, and he preached the gospel to them. He went to the factories. He went to the ports and the longshoremen. He was out in the world meeting people where they were, spreading the word of Jesus Christ. And he was driven by this vision that the good news needed to be spread to everyone. And he did whatever it took to get that done. But he didn't stop there. His expectation was that all Methodists, now United Methodists, would do the same. So here's the question. Do we?
It is biblical. Jane read from Ephesians, and in Paul's letter to the Ephesus, he had a purpose. He'd founded that church, and the church had lost its direction and its purpose. There was a lot of infighting. They spent more time trying to figure out who was more holy than they did being connected to what the church needed to do. And so in the section that Jane read this morning, we heard two very important things. The first is that the focus has to be on Christ and bringing the good news of Christ. And that we are built up as a body when we focus on Christ. It is our full measure of faithfulness. And the second one is that we will do this together. Now, Paul says that when we focus, we are no longer infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind. We know exactly who we're to focus on and who we are and where we're going. And he also says that from Christ, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Paul was very clear that if the church is to fill its purpose, it isn't done by particular individuals. It's not done by the people we pay to do all that religious stuff. It's not done by the people who just have a little more time on their hands. It's not accomplished by those who are younger or those who are older or those who are a little more spiritual or those who have just a little bit more energy. It is the entire body of faith coming together that can make an exceptional difference. It's really neat that in this time in our life as a congregation, we are experiencing an amazing time of the body of Christ coming together.
Yeah, because we get to bring together two bodies of Christ. For those of you who don't know, back in April, this congregation and the congregation of the Wesley United Methodist Church in Whitmore Lake, we voted to become one church at two locations with two campuses. And in 3 short weeks, on Sunday, July 1st, we're going to be one. And it's amazing. We're going to get to live out our mission and vision, not just here in Brighton and Livingston County, but in Whitmore Lake and Washtenaw County. I mean, we are given a wonderful opportunity. As the campus pastor down there, to say I'm excited is an understatement. But the question is, okay, now what? And so as we look at our mission and vision, what can we do? And so I go back to a conversation I had with the superintendent of the Whitmore Lake Schools. I had lunch with him. We spent some time together. And when I met with him, I asked him, so how can the church, how can the United Methodist Church, the Whitmore Lake campus, how can we help? What can we do? And it took him that long to give me an answer. And he was specific. He said, you can have a place for the kids to be after 5 o'clock and on the weekends during the school year. And then during the summer break, not only that, but during the day, during the week. Wow. One thing I realized in talking to Tom is he has faith. He believes in the church and the difference the church can make. Now, the question is, what are we going to do? What is it going to look like? How are we going to have that impact? How are we going to connect to kids? And I don't know yet. What I will tell you is, it starts with one kid, and we will grow from there, and we will do it together.
Yeah. Here's the thing about Methodism. Bob hears this. Bob hears a lot from me all the time. But here's the thing about Methodism, is that we practice our faith in this dichotomy or this tension or balance. We practice personal faith growth. You can call it personal piety. You can call it personal spirituality. But on the other hand, we balance our faith as a people who reach out in the name of Jesus Christ. We are a people of social action or social holiness as well as personal holiness. Now, oftentimes, we might get kind of very comfortable in one of those areas. We might say, well, you know what the faith is about? It's about me and my relationship with Jesus. And so I'm going to pray. I'm going to study the Bible. I'm going to maybe journal a little bit. I'm going to show up for worship. I'm going to participate in the sacrament of Holy Communion. And I'm going to do what I need to do to be spiritually sound and to be connected with the Holy Spirit by the grace of Jesus Christ. And that is essential to the faith. But as Methodists, we also understand that there is a balance between growing in personal piety or faithfulness and reaching out in the name of Jesus Christ so that the reign of God can truly come near in our communities. And so there might be some of you here who say, I know what being faithful is. Faithful is volunteering for mission trips. It's making sure that I'm generous with mission projects, that I am doing what I need to in this community to make a difference. What we're called to as United Methodists is to balance that. And that's not just for some people who have the time. It's not for some people who perhaps have God whispering in their ear a particular call. For each of us, we are called to ask ourselves, how are we working on our own inner faithfulness as well as on reaching out into this world so that Christ might be known? It is a call for all of us. Now, Bob and I have some urgency for mission and vision on our hearts. Now, we have a vision of what this church should look like. If you look on the front cover of your bulletin or worship folder this morning, you're going to find the Brighton First mission statement, and you will also find our vision statement. We have who we are, our purpose, and we have listed here how that will look as we fulfill our mission. And you'll see 4 areas: worship, discipleship, service, and fellowship. We are all connected and working in these areas, but what we want to do is draw your attention to a couple of areas that are on our hearts. If you look under discipleship, you will find that it is our vision that we are a place of spiritual growth and connection with Jesus Christ for all ages. But if you look at the second sentence, I'd like to emphasize that. We nurture the young, teaching them of God's awesome power and abiding love, the life and teachings of Jesus, and the rich history of God's people. We are called to nurture the young. We are called to make a difference in children's lives so that years from now they will not be tossed about as with the waves and the wind, but they will have a solid foundation that will keep them connected with Christ. Now, how do we do it? Back when I was a child, I know how they did it. My parents would put us on the Sunday school bus. Anyone ever had to be put on the Sunday school bus? All right. Well, so we'd get on the bus, we'd ride to Sunday school, we'd have our lesson, and then parents would join us, we'd go to worship, and in worship, we would participate. I was Episcopalian, we'd have our prayer books open, we'd go through, we'd sing the hymns, and we did this nearly every week. It's what we did on Sunday morning, back in my day. How about you, Bob?
Well, our time frame isn't that much different, Sherry.
He's a little bit
younger.
It's
a lot longer ago than I remember. And when Sherry mentioned, we both grew up Episcopalian. Well, they had altar boys, you know, acolytes. So my mom made sure that, you know, my brother and I, that we did that and we were up front. Pretty cool, huh? Hey, Mom, nothing's changed. I'm still up front. I guess it's stuck. Way to go. And that's, you know, that was just part of it, though. We had youth group, and I love spending time with those kids, and I love being involved in the worship services when the youth would get to lead and be involved, just like we did last week here at Brighton First. And what we discovered, those are the good old days, because it's not like that today. They've discovered that since the late 1960s, Sunday school attendance in the U.S. and in every denomination has been on a decline. It used to be you opened up a church, mimeographed some worksheets, and the kids just flooded in. The bus picked them up. It doesn't work that way anymore. We keep hearing, where are the kids? And in fact, we polled the leaders of this church and our staff and discovered the number one priority for mission was children and youth. And yet the question still gets asked, where are the kids? And it's not that we don't have the right facilities or we don't have the right time for Sunday school. That's not it. What we're discovering, and you know this, that there are so many things going on that when you look at a Sunday morning between family events, chores, making sure the house is clean, sporting activities, homework, and just getting a break and taking a rest, Sunday mornings are not what they used to be. And that's not the only part of it. In addition, the church, the greater church, we've been complacent in focusing on children and having the parents and the children understand the difference that Christ can make in their life and connecting with them. And so as we look at it, here's a couple questions I have for you as we look at our church. How many of you can name some of the children in the sanctuary today?
Right in this room today.
Right in this
room.
How
many can name?
Raise your hands.
If you can name a child that's in
this. It's because you have some of them or you work with them, right?
Yeah.
There's a theme there. And that's what we all face. So here's the question. Do you pray for them? Do you come alongside them in mission? Are you part of their life? Are you making that connection? And I just want you to imagine, as we talked about what's possible in Whitmore Lake and what the superintendent would have us do, what would that look like? How amazing could that be if we, all of us, took that moment to nurture children in the faith and have them come to know God, love God, and serve God? I firmly believe that parents and their children would be drawn to this community if we truly showed them that we are a place committed to presenting Jesus Christ and the difference that Christ can make through the love of God.
So as I look from this congregation, from this side to this side, I give thanks to God for parents who are here today with their children and youth. This is a sacrifice for something that you feel is important, and I want to let you know it is important. It's important for this entire congregation, and we are so thankful for you. So thankful. Children that are here, can we make a commitment to you that we will know your names? Would that be okay? We would know your names. You may be saying, well, what in the world are we supposed to do? To become a congregation that is laser point focused on nurturing youth and children. Well, this summer, we're going to be redeveloping our strategic plan. And part of that strategic plan, I will tell you, will be specific ways that all congregation members will start moving toward being a nurturing community for our children beyond what we are now. Because where we are now is not Jesus' fault. It's not our facility's fault. It's not our leader's fault. It's because we have become disconnected and have not focused completely on that. But I'm not going to leave you here today without something to do, and so I give you three things. The first thing is to connect. Now, I'm not saying after the service, chase a small child. That could be scary. But but notice parents. Ask parents the names of their children. Just ask. And if you do know a child, then get to know them better. Find out what their pets' names are, what their sports are, what they do to play, what their plans are for the summer, and what they're excited about. Get connected with the children we have. The second thing is invite. So connect and invite. Invite young parents, youth, children that you know in this community to come. Now, I'm in the practice of inviting. I'm not saying that you have to wait until you can be 100% sure that someone will come. You will not believe how many people I invite regularly to come here. Not many take me up on it, but I don't stop doing it. Bob just invited some person that was driving by. Well, he can tell
it's
you the story.
It's a long story.
Yeah. He just randomly invited someone yesterday. And so if she's not afraid, maybe she'll come. For the kids that you see in this community that you know need a firm foundation, get in the habit of inviting in. The next thing is simply to pray. Pray for the ministry of this church. Pray for the ministry of the greater church that we might powerfully nurture the young. And pray for the families that you know here and those that you are coming to know. Pray for them. Pray for our preschool children. Pray for their parents. Make this a part of the ministry so that when we come together, all of us can say one of our primary works is to nurture kids. Now, another thing that we feel is urgent and on our hearts is that we connect with our local community. If you look at on the vision statement under service, it says, we serve as the hands and feet of Christ, going where there is need and doing God's work. We build relationships with the people we serve. Now, when we were introduced to the Whitmore Lake Wesley Church, we went down there. And if you've been down at Whitmore Lake, the church is beautiful. It's on the side of the lake. It's really kind of a lovely structure. And I looked across the street, and I saw this newish apartment complex that houses hundreds of people. And I said, tell me about your connection with the people in those apartments. And I was saddened to hear that with the people right across the street, not one person from those apartments was connected with the church. No one. And I felt pretty smug. So I came back here. I started walking around this church. I walked out one block. You know where I'm going. I walked out two blocks. I walked out three blocks. And there are apartment complexes within easy walking distance. There are multiple homes. There are thousands of people. And we're not connected with one. What kind of neighbors are we when we're not connected with the people who live the closest to this building? We go where we're needed, but we have hesitated to go across the street. We wring our hands about other churches growing in this area and having thousands of members, right? Anyone wrung their hands about that? I know you do because you come to me and say, you know, build us a soccer field or something. But I tell you what, there are thousands of people in this community who have no faith connection. And there are neighbors. Wouldn't it have been amazing? I'm going to preaching, aren't I?
Yeah, wouldn't it have been a while ago, actually.
Wouldn't it have been amazing if Jesus had read his mission statement in the walls of the synagogue and then said, all right, Now, you know what I'm going to do? You bring people in here and I'll tell them. He didn't do it that way. He walked. He got out of the building. And he started inviting people into relationships that would change their lives and change the world. We are a people who are called to be neighbors in relationship with each other, and we understand that it will transform the community and it will transform us.
And Sherry and I know this congregation, we do good things in this community. Milpon Manor, just up the road, we've connected with them. We provide food. We provide socks. so people can walk. We provide gas cards so people can get to work. We provide dental care at a low cost right next door at the Vena Dental Clinic. We provide bedding. We do a lot of things. And our generosity, this congregation's generosity, brings relief to those in need. Mm-hmm. It's a fact. Mm-hmm. And what we've discovered, though, is if you truly want to address their deep needs, we need to be in relationship with them. We need to connect in a greater way. So as Sherry talked about, we're going to continue to develop strategies for this church and for Whitmore Lake as well. And so the second strategy we're focused on this year is how do we deepen that relationship with community members here in Brighton, here in Whitmore Lake, to make those connections, to be the hands and feet of Christ, shaping the communities and letting people experience how the Holy Spirit can change them, but also, this is really cool, how the Holy Spirit will change us as we do that. So, Sherry, you asked, people are sitting there going, what can I do now? Sherry already told you, and I'm going to tell you again. You can connect, you can invite, and you can pray. Connect with people around this community and ask them, what can we do to make a difference? And trust me, they will tell you. They have ideas. The other thing you can do then is invite. Now, I'm not saying invite to church. This is even scarier. I'm telling you to invite people into your social circle. You know that little close-knit group you have? Let them become part of that. Because when you expand that, they're going to want to know more about you and how Christ has an impact on your life. And they'll wind up following when you invite them and say, I want you to come with me to church. But mostly, we can pray. We can pray for those people in our communities who are within walking distance, but also those who are within driving distance, because those are the people that we are told to connect with, Sherry, every one of them.
So we invite you to catch the vision. This certainly doesn't mean that we're going to neglect all of the other good works and the ministries that we do here in discipleship and congregational care and outreach and mission and in worship as well. But it does mean that we're going to pay some close attention to those areas that will grow people of faith. On July 1st, I will celebrate 10 years of ministry here. Can you imagine? 10 years. Thank you. And I'm not done. I am not done. I see some amazing things here. We, as a congregation, years ago, made the commitment to be here and to be a presence in a thriving downtown. We now are also a congregation who is present in another community with 370 feet of lake frontage, if you can imagine, on a beautiful lake. And in both of these places, we have the capacity, by our faithfulness and our talents and our gifts, to raise up faithful children and to be in relationship with this community in a way that will change lives. I trust that by our gifts of dedication, I've seen it, by our faithfulness, by our generosity, we will make a difference. We know who we are, And together,
we will know God, love God, and serve God.
Together, we will make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world.
Amen.
Please pray with me. All right. That's right. Lord, we're a little bit frightened to say yes. I know, Lord, I am. I'm frightened to say yes for what might be ahead that will make my life inconvenient and will change it. But Lord, place in all of us a desire that our children will know you. Place in us a desire that our community will know you. And we will follow. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.